Hi, welcome to Adventures in Awakening. I'm your host, Amber. Thank you so much for tuning in to another podcast episode today. Today, I had the opportunity to interview Cindy Riggs. She is an internationally known psychic, spiritual consultant, universal channel, and defragmenter. Cindy shares with us her awakening story, how she landed where she is today, how she began to channel, grow all of her spiritual gifts, and how the universe just guided her to really step into her purpose and her power. She channels at the end a lovely message for the collective, so definitely tune in to the end, listen to that. She has a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of services to just help you and guide you along your awakening story. She is an author and has written two books, which are linked in the show notes. She has channeled Vishnu and Buddha, and even just tapping in and reading these books will help expand and grow your vibration. So this one's a good one. Enjoy. I had so much fun interviewing her and definitely plan to chat with her more in the future. If you have any additional questions about the services that I offer, head over to my website, adventuresinawakening.com, for an energy session, Reiki session, intuitive session, or even some yoga work. And to like, follow, share the podcast, spread the love. I would very much appreciate it. Remember, guys, when you awaken you, you remember you. Sending so much love. Namaste. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to Adventures in Awakening.
Hi, Amber. Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for being here. I'm super excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you.
I wanted to get started by asking you your awakening story and just how you landed in the very moment you are today.
Wow. Okay. So it was 1995 when I was frantically on my way to a job interview because I hated my job and I hated pretty much my life. And I slipped on the ice, ended up upside down in a ditch in my car. And, but that wasn't really the awakening. It was an attempt. That was my soul attempting to awaken me. It was a few months later. No, it wasn't even that much later, maybe a month later, that I was fired from that job I hated so much. And a friend let me sit at her apartment that day because I didn't want to go home because I lived next door to my parents. I didn't want them to know that I was home. And I didn't want them to know I was fired. So I was sitting there in her apartment, all miserable, calling people, wanting a company with my misery, you know? And she said, if you need to leave, I'm going to put the key to the apartment right here on the edge of the trunk. I'm like, okay. So, and I was parked at a meter. So when I realized my meter was about done, I'm like, well, I need to go feed the meter. Where's that key? And I'm looking at the trunk exactly where she put it. And I'm like rubbing my hand back and forth on top of the trunk where the key was. And there was no key. And I'm looking at the cats and they're looking at me just sitting there. And I had to call her. She had to bring in another key and let me in. And then I started looking around, like, where does a key go? I don't think a cat would pick up a key and move it, but it might. So as I'm looking around, I step outside the door again. I step back in and the key is right there in the trunk where she put it. And I'm not crazy because I know it wasn't there for a while. And so that's what I call my key to awakening story, because at that moment I realized, oh, wow, there's something more going on than my miserable life and my like job situation. And that's when I started really delving into books, lots and lots of books, cassette tapes at the time, lots of books and cassettes from the library. I support the library now because I feel like that's where I went to college for this. Because I listened to a bunch of Wayne Dyer, Tony Robbins, Shakti Gawain, read book after book. And then I got a job in a metaphysical bookstore. And that all happened kind of synchronistically because the job I was fired from was actually designing that store. And that's why I was aware of it. So I just called them. I said, hey, do you need any help? Just part-time. And when they interviewed me, they said, well, would you come on full time? And I said, yes. And then in a couple weeks, they made me an assistant manager. And then I was exposed to all things spiritual, everything. I was exposed to psychic readers because it was my job to bring them into the store. I did the newsletter. I was exposed to all the books and the stones and all the tools. And then in about a year, I started doing readings myself. But to get there, the store said, we want everyone who works here to learn Reiki. And I'm like, what's Reiki? You know, so they paid for everyone to have a class. And after my first Reiki attunement, it opened up my psychic awareness once again, because something had happened to me when I was 3, if you want me to go back that far, but I really had shut it down until I was almost 30. Mm-hmm. And it was then that I had the Reiki attunement, and then I started hearing things. I was awakened every morning at 3:15 a.m. And somebody said, get a pen and paper, see what's on your mind. So I was just write these words one at a time as they came to me. And in the morning I would read it, and it was fascinating. And that's when I really started hearing spirits talking to me. I believe they were just my guides to begin with. Then I met my guide in a dream. Then I met another guide in a dream. And then I just kept asking for more. Every time I was meditating, I just said, give me more. Give me vision. Give me hearing. Give me abilities. And then it was my guide who taught me how to channel, which was really my first ability that I was able to develop.
I love your story because I relate to it on so many levels. How the universe just plopped you right to where, you know, you needed to be. And I do feel like a lot of us kind of block stuff out. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people that I speak with do, because we just don't know.
Sure. And I love that it was a key. That's why I call it my key to awakening story.
Yes. And that's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Now, was it Reiki 1 or Reiki 2, did you say, that started to open up your gifts?
It was just Reiki 1.
Reiki 1. I love that. Yeah.
And of course, I teach Reiki now. I've taught Reiki for 20 years because I've been doing all of this for 25 years now. And that's why I teach Reiki. And I tell them that story. I say, this is what got me to sitting right here right now is Reiki 1. Because I had a vision right after my attunement of a person who was just smiling at me, but a person I knew. And I'm like, that was really bright and vivid. I wasn't thinking about that person. I also had an experience, and I know people have a lot of experiences when they're attuned to Reiki, but I started seeing light, like something really bright, because she told us to keep our eyes closed. And I'm like, I'm going to have to look and see if that candle is like catching the room on fire. Because it was so bright outside of my eyelids. But when I peeked my eyes open, it was dark in there. Uh-huh. And that's when I knew something else was happening, that there was something very interesting about this. And I was always interested in like metaphysical stuff, paranormal. I used to read about ghosts all the time when I was little, you know, but it scared me a lot when I was little. So I just kind of thought that the 3D world was it.
Now, when did, I know after the Reiki, you started channeling, and then you kept asking, I also in meditation said, like, I would hear whispers, I would hear this. And I said, increase my gifts, make it stronger. Let me hear you more clearly. Like, so, yes. And I think people don't realize how simple it is to really do that.
No, it's so simple. And I do with my clients, I like to teach them how to communicate with their guide, just with yes and no, because just about everybody can do that the first time. A lot of people can channel the very first time they try it, which is pretty astounding, because it took me a much longer journey to be able to make that a smooth thing that I do.
So can you explain your process of once you started channeling, like where it led to the, what happened next?
Yeah. So, I didn't really know what was happening. I knew that I was hearing these messages. One night, in the middle of the night, I had the guts to ask, who is talking to me? And they said, we are light beings like you. And I thought that was interesting. And I'm like, what do you mean light beings? Like, I didn't even know what that meant. And so soon after that, I met my guide in a dream that was far too vivid to be a dream. It was so real that I would swear to you, it had to be another reality. So she gave me her name. I said, are you the one that's been giving me the messages? And she said, some of them. She said it would be faster if you sat at a computer and typed them. So I started typing them. And so then she started working with me and teaching me, like, so I wanted to know who was talking to me, and I wanted it to just be her. So I didn't know if it was any kind of, like, I didn't want any interference or, you know, the wrong kind of being talking to me. So I said, well, teach me something. You know, I'm always like, teach me something. And so she said to type the messages, and then we started doing Q&A. And then one day, and I'd really just get one word at a time, and then I'd wait, and then another word, and then I'd wait. And I had to clear my mind every time, so I didn't really know if it was going to make a sentence. But I was pretty good at clearing my mind and just waiting for the next word. So one day I was with a friend, and she said, let's try something. I said, let's try something. You ask a question, and I'll get you the answer one word at a time. So we did that. And because we both had to look up a word in the dictionary, I knew it was real. And the more I practiced that, the more smooth it got and the faster I could speak. And now I've channeled literally thousands of beings, angels, extraterrestrials, gods, goddesses, ascended masters, and the oneness, all of them together. I love it.
So what is your process like for channeling?
So I go into a semi-trance, which takes me only a few seconds now because I've been doing it for so long. And then a spirit will approach me. So I don't typically ask for someone in particular when I'm doing my channeling sessions. If it's a special event, I know who I'm going to channel in advance. But for my monthly sessions that I used to do, now I'm doing them quarterly. But for the monthly sessions, I would just wait to see who it would be. Sometimes it was the Archangel Gabriel. Sometimes it was some goddess I'd never heard of. Or as you probably know, I've channeled the Hindu god Vishnu, because I also channeled his book. I've also channeled the Buddha. So let's say the Buddha appears, and I know it's the Buddha because I can somehow remember his energy signature, if that makes any sense. I don't necessarily see him as much as I know that he's there. And sometimes I'll just hear the name. So then I say, okay, merge with me. And then he just begins pouring his energy into my body. And when I hit about 85% of accommodating his energy, I step aside. I step my consciousness out of my body, if that makes sense. And some people can actually see me standing or sitting over there. And then the Buddha will just speak. And it's fascinating because if people ask questions, I can see him like projecting his mind into their mind to understand what they're asking. It's interesting.
Wow. Basically,
and then it feels
take it I'm to sorry. That level. To take it to that level, he's probably like, let me get to your level so I can understand what you're asking me.
Well, sure. Yeah. Because sometimes people don't word a question in a way that the spirit would understand. And my mind isn't in there to say, she means this, you know, or he means this. So they just take care of it. But it's truly the most intense surrender. Like, I have to trust them completely to take care of my body, because they're using my, you know, my brain and my my nervous system. I mean, they're using everything. I can hear it, but I'm not interfering. And that's probably the trickiest part to explain, because I'm not sure I can explain how I do that. I just do it. I just totally let go and allow it.
Before we get into your books real quick, when you are channeling, and it's not like a book and you're meditating, someone is coming to you, do you hear their voice? Like, do the voices change, or do they stay kind of similar?
You mean when they're speaking through me?
Yes. Do you ever hear their voice, or
yes.
is it just?
So people will tell me that my voice changed. I don't really hear that.
Okay.
Once in a while, I'll hear my voice a little higher or lower. Oh yeah, there's a being called Zarathustra, He's the Persian prophet, and his voice is really low,
okay.
But not super low. Like, it's still my voice for the most part, but it will change a little bit.
Okay.
It doesn't really change. I'm sorry.
How did you get into writing the books? Did they come to you and say, I want you to, you know?
Oh, that's a great story. So Vishnu, the god of gods, you know, one of the trinity of Hindu gods.
Yes.
He appeared to me one day, I was with a client, and he always liked me to channel someone for him. So I said, well, we'll see who it is today. And first I saw a trident, you know, the trident that he holds. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the color saffron, and then I heard the word Vishnu, or the name Vishnu. I'm like, who is Vishnu? I'm like, well, your energy seems cool. And I always make sure they're from the light, you know. I'm very, very picky about what I allow to merge with me. And as a side note, I don't allow people's deceased relatives to merge with me because they're a different frequency. But so Vishnu shows up, he merges with me, and it's the most amazing thing I've ever felt. It was the most intense. It felt like water was running through all my veins and my nerves. It was the most amazing thing. Then I look him up later, and he's associated with water. He holds a trident. He was so much more than I expected him to be. And then after channeling him for a while, he said, I want to just merge with you every day. I'm like, sure, because I can't even describe the feeling. It's amazing. And so he says, now I want to write a book. I'm like, what? I don't know anything about writing a book. He says, just create the time and space, and I'll give you a chapter a day. Here, I'm going to give you the index now. So he gives me the index of the book. I'm like, this is interesting. But all I had to do was focus on creating the time and space and surrendering. And he did give me a chapter a day until the last chapter. And there was a 9-month gap in which nothing was happening. And I felt as though he wanted the book to be out before 2012. Because of all of the talk about, you know, what was going to happen in 2012. I'm like, well, if you want this to happen, then figure it out. I just wasn't getting anything from him. One day I went to do a group session. Here comes Vishnu, channels the last chapter perfectly. I didn't have to edit a thing. It was just the perfect last chapter. So that's how that happened. And then, of course, I had been channeling the Buddha for quite some time, and the Buddha. So Vishnu's book is kind of front to back. He starts out and he tells you, here's what you are as a human. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you're doing wrong. You know, not in those words. He wouldn't say those words. But then Buddha's book, Buddha wanted me to compile different themes. And that's a cool story too, because I thought, okay, I'm just writing another book. This is fun. And, it has little practices in the end of each section. They're not chapters, they're sections. And then I had a book signing and presentation scheduled in Raleigh, North Carolina for the near future. And the girl who was editing my book had a death in her family. The editing was taking too long, I felt. And then finally I got it all, you know, submitted. And then I got them ordered, but I thought it didn't look like they were going to be at the bookstore in time. So I said, Buddha, if you want people to have this book in their hands, then get them there. Otherwise, I will go ahead and have a plan B to do pre-orders. So I was all ready to do pre-orders, and the books arrived at the bookstore the day before I did.
Nice. So, thank you, universe. Thank you, Buddha.
Yeah. Yeah. But I had to completely surrender that without any doubt and without any attachment. That's the key. And that story I think is important for anyone, because if you can truly trust without attachment to the outcome, then magnificent things happen. I'm sure you know that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes the hardest thing, right?
It can be.
Surrendering, now, yeah.
Right, I know. And when people say that, when people are sitting in my office and say that, I say, well, if that's what you believe, then it's true.
Right.
Oh, that's so going to be hard. Well, that's what you believe, because you know, I'm a hypnotherapist. I've been doing hypnosis for 15 years. And it's like, whatever our brain believes, whatever we believe is true until we choose a new belief. Our brain believes that everything is the truth, real and imagined.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's totally where you put your energy and what you feel. I mean, the time of co-creation is huge right now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I feel like it's intensifying so much. Yeah. So it's very important to be.
Oh my gosh.
Super clear.
I felt like all the stuff that I was learning 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago is stuff we needed to know now.
Yeah.
You know, for this world now. So I'm doing my best to, you know, download as much information to people as I can, as quickly as I can, because they need it now. And I'm sure that's what you're doing right now with your podcast.
I'm trying, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're doing it.
You know, like one of my biggest, I've always said this, one of my biggest fears, you know, with sharing my voice and being heard and seen, probably because I carry trauma from like an old witch wound or something from way back when. But this entire podcast like just came to me in a meditation one day.
Nice.
And
nice.
I was like, no. And they're like, yes. So, like, I'm not doing it, but I did it. And here we are. And everything is going great. And I keep just listening to where I'm being called to take it. And even though all along the way I've said, I don't want to do this, they're like, oh, you're going to do this. I'm like, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah, and I love it. Why not? Why not?
Right.
I feel like in any platform that we're guided to do, it's going to be helpful for someone.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people to help. There's a lot of people to inspire.
And I was thinking, like, you know, if I wish I had a resource years ago when I started my process of awakening,
too.
Which I think was when I was a child, like if I could have Googled something like this heard a listen to make me feel like I wasn't different or I, you know, what I was experiencing wasn't weird. I would have had a lot more confidence and maybe gotten to this space a lot sooner, or things would have, could have, you know, who knows?
Sure. And yet, you know, all is divine timing, right? So
absolutely.
It happened for me when it was supposed to, even though, all I had was books. I couldn't even pay to get a reading. I couldn't even afford that. So I just kept borrowing books and cassettes. And then The Secret came out. Remember that?
I do.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Somebody let me borrow the video and I took a like cassette recording of it. And I just listened to it over and over and over in my car until I started getting it. And then I started seeing, you know, how the manifestation really works. And now that I have more of a quantum view of all of it, it is a really an easy exact science. If you can really, you know, separate yourself from all the doubt.
Yeah, and it really comes back to tapping into heart center and finding that surrender. And, you know, what your ego and your mind want is not necessarily what the heart and the higher self wants. So.
Right, and that's difficult for people because all of this, you know, conscious manifestation stuff says, think about what you want, focus on it. It's like, but is that what your mind wants? So here's what Vishnu taught me when I was writing his book. He said something about, or maybe I asked a question about highest good, you know, because in Reiki we're taught to always intend for the highest good. And Vishnu says, oh, well, that's got good intentions as a statement, but it's not good enough because you're still saying the word good, and good comes from duality, good and bad. So if you want to override all of duality, just ask for alignment with your soul and there's nothing else to ask for. And I flew back in my chair and I said, what did you just say? And then it clicked. You know, if I just ask for alignment with my soul, or, hey, soul, what do you want? Show me what your most authentic expression is. Then amazing things happen. And all I have to do is stay in that attitude of surrender to it. And then I'm like commanding my blueprint to show itself. Huh. Love it.
That's really powerful. That's really good because I too, and a lot of spiritual people or readers or intuitives will say something very similar to if they're going into a meditation or reading, you know, stay in a place of love for the highest good. That's
right.
Typical. Yeah. And you offer other ascension, like in the Vishnu book, correct? there's like activations or.
Yes.
I'm saying the wrong word.
So no. You're actually receiving codes of frequency that help to awaken you. Awakening codes, he called them.
Okay.
As you read the book, there's no like technique in there. It's just read his words, because words have all kinds of energy embedded in them. And even many spirits that I've channeled say, realize that it's not my words that are important for you. It's all of the energetic codes you're receiving, mm-hmm. embedded in the words or behind the words, so to speak. So there's like awakening codes embedded in it energetically, which is pretty cool.
Yes, I love that. And I just got chills because last week when there was more than last week, like a few weeks ago when they're like, you need to start channeling on the podcast. And I'm like, no. And they're like, your voice. They're like, it's not so much about what makes you comfortable. We need your voice because it's going to carry a frequency
right.
that'll cause activation. So
that's right.
Just let it. And having you on here just like gave me the goosebumps. So, like,
well,
okay.
There you go. And I channel yes. on my podcast too.
Yes.
I channel a different spirit each time.
And what can you share with the audience your podcast?
My podcast is called From Beyond. Interviewing Spirits, Channeling Insight from Beyond. And you can also search From Beyond with Cindy Riggs. I think it comes up that way too.
Do you have a favorite or three that you like to channel or?
Spirits? Gosh. Uh-huh. Well, you know, Master Jesus is always popular with audiences. Uh-huh. Mother Mary's a good one, actually. I've learned a lot from her. I love the Buddha. Let's see, so many archangels have been interesting too, especially Gabriel or Gabriel. Gabriel's just asked me to pronounce its name Gabriel and reminds me to encourage people to understand that angels are genderless. So that's another thing that I've done. Let me see, do I have a favorite? Oh yes, there is a being that is a very, very high frequency being. There are actually a number of them. There are four of them. And they're beyond gender. I don't know what they are. They're not angels. They're the closest thing to source that I know. And one is called Oro, one's called Aya, one's called Ama, and one is called Ashtok Ra. And those are my favorites to channel because they're just so super high frequency. I can't even describe the feeling. It's amazing.
Do you have any memory of any of the messages that they've shared with you?
Yes. You mean like right now?
Yeah. Could you share one or do?
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And it's okay if not, I don't want to put you on the spot at all.
No, actually I think I have some written out here. Green Tara was another one. It was very interesting. And I've had a lot of Hindu gods and goddesses come to me, uh-huh. which I'm like, why me? Because I'm not Hindu. I mean, you have to be born into Hinduism to be a Hindu. And they're like, because you're open.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it relates back to their teaching. And
mm-hmm. yeah, I'm looking. I actually have some. I've got a transcript here. Anunnaki. Have you heard of the Anunnaki?
Yes.
Well, they're similar to the Elohim in which they are architects of life or like creator gods. Okay. And these are not the Anunnaki that people think of that are like reptilians or negative. These are like the... one message they said, this was in 2012, the engineers in the codes in our DNA who are researching through individuals, the interface between the codes in the DNA and the human experience, which we're calling the hardware, the interface and the operating system representing the human experience. It's not that they're trying to figure out why the interface is evolving on its own, collectively and individually. I'm not sure if this is making any sense. Each person's interface is evolving uniquely. And I do remember the Anunnaki once saying, somebody said, well, are you the ones that took 10 strands of our DNA away from us? They said, yes, we did, because that was what the creator asked us to do, because you are an experiment and you have evolved much quicker than we expected. So I thought that was a really neat message. I do remember that.
Wow. Unlocking. And I think we're kind of like not evolving as quick as I know. Like. Right.
Oh, here's one. Here's an interesting one. This was the Anunnaki and the Archangel Metatron together, speaking together. And they said, the fabric or the paper contains the imprinted information of all of your lifetimes. And on that paper is the map of this lifetime. So they were kind of creating an analogy to explain our DNA. Here it is. Some of these beings, you call them indigo children, are having a difficult time with your current society as your society is not evolving along with them. So you want so badly to have all 12 strands of your DNA back, and yet you would not be able to operate here. You came here to operate here, not to be all spacey and in denial of this reality. You did not come to ignore this reality. You came here to be part of it and to rise above it while you are part of it, to walk in both worlds.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. I think because we have a remembering, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, but we're also here to feel and experience and embody it all.
Right, right. Embody it all. We're here to embody our soul, you know, our soul's essence, which can help us rise above the adversity here and help us navigate through it easily, so easily. I mean, like, I'm astounded almost every day with something that happens.
Yes.
And now, when I write...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I write my intentions for the year, I just put whatever my soul wants. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Here are some things I'd like to accomplish. But at the bottom of that list is, you know, ultimately, whatever my soul's authentic expression is here. Because it knows better than my mind does. Joe Dispenza says our mind is 5% of our consciousness. Why would we trust it?
That's so true. So true. And yet we live in a world where, you know, I teach an empowerment workshop where I talk about mm-hmm. long ago, we lived from heart and solar plexus, and it was that intuitive inner knowing. And now right. the mind is like the leader of our world, like the smarter, the brain, yes. And that right. is not how it should be.
No, they say knowledge is power. Yeah, if you want power in 3D, but I'd like to have power beyond 3D while I'm in 3D.
Mm-hmm. So good. So I love your channeling story, but I would like to definitely move on into how you got into like mediumship, remote viewing, your...
Sure.
All the defragmenting and...
Yes, yeah, so defragmenting... Yes. So I studied hypnosis, started doing some hypnosis. I've always just been interested in whatever. So I'll take a class here, take a class there. Not too many classes though, because I couldn't really afford them back then. Uh-huh. So, but my guides have taught me, and all these spirits I've channeled have taught me more than I could ever learn in a class. Kuan Yin taught me this amazing healing system. It's all in my mind's eye. It's like a computer program. And I just use different functions to isolate a part of the body and like run a healing program on it or something. It's pretty cool. And so I started realizing that, wow, I could put somebody on my massage table and I could not only hypnotize them, but I could do energy work on them at the same time. And then I kept getting all these techniques. So I started doing that. I called it defragmenting and I still call it that. I came up with that name. So I'm not calling it soul retrieval because I wanted a more modern term for it. Mm-hmm. And now it's evolved. It's still evolving, but it's evolved to be like, I'm just come in to see me. You're going to feel better when you leave. Let's find out what your higher self wants to work on. The person's higher self talks to me. And I put them on the table and then I'm just guided in the moment. I usually channel someone who wants to come in and work on them during the session. And I just never know what's going to happen. They're all unique, but there are some typical clearings that I've been shown how to do. Somebody's higher self taught me how to separate the ego from the person, which I can do as I am merged with their higher self. And that is the most powerful, amazing technique that I have ever experienced, because I can pull somebody out of a panic attack in moments and shift them so quickly because their ego separated for up to 2 hours.
Wow.
And with the ego out of the way, the healing work can be, you know, more effective.
More powerful, so, big time.
Yeah. And so I've evolved to just, I'm basically channeling the hypnosis too. I don't even know what I'm just waiting for the words to come to me. And so, you know, I got into Reiki, you know, teaching Reiki, doing Reiki, love Reiki. And of course the hypnosis, but most of the other techniques I do have been taught to me by spirit. And so these defragmenting sessions, I call it rapid positive change, because it's so comprehensive that I'm doing a bunch of different sessions at once. And that's what a Gemini can do, right?
Can do, I love that. You're that's so authentic, because I think in the day and age we live now, we're constantly learning and growing and following other people, where I feel like this is a really time to go within and create the new. Even with Reiki, like there's so much healing beyond that. I love it. Don't get me wrong, practice as well. But there are different codes now. There are different things that we're upgrading. You know, we're constantly shifting.
Oh, yeah. We're constantly being upgraded, whether we realize it or not. And so then I'm on my way to my office, which is a commute for me, one day. This is probably 16 years ago. And I get a call, and they said, this local church gave me your number. We have stuff flying across the room. And I'm like, I'll be right there, because synchronistically, my first client had just canceled. And this was the call I got after that cancellation, because I'm like, well, I'm almost there. I just have time to kill now. But I said, I will come straight there. And on my way there, I'm like, okay, guides, I don't know what I'm doing, but you got to show me what to do. We have to fix this problem for them. Because I was referred by like a pastor at a church who I knew. And so I get there and I'm like, well, just guide me, show me what to do. And I was able to stop the activity. Now I had to go back three more times, I believe, because the activity we found out was associated with an employee, because after she left, the activity stopped. But there was someone there who could see these beings and could see that what I cleared did not return. That was interesting to me, because I mostly see ghosts or spirits in my mind's eye. But here I walk into this place with an antique car collection, and I close my eyes and I say, show me where these spirits are, where the ghosts are. And I can see some of them sitting in the cars. It was kind of interesting. There were a bunch of them in there. And they just showed me what to do. Like, they showed me the clearing technique. And, you know, I went there all acting like I knew what I was doing. And by the end of the session, I did know what I was doing. So I teach some people that, and I do a lot of ghost busting work. But, you know, it's so easy to attract is the problem. So there's a lot of issues with that. But I've done some really, really advanced stuff too. And I've encountered all kinds of beings, very interesting stuff. And I always thought that stuff would scare me, but it doesn't. So I do that too. And then you asked about mediumship, which is probably the last thing on my list of skills, but I can do it. Probably as a result of this ghost busting work is how I was able to start really communicating with spirits. When I'm ghost busting, I rarely talk to them. I just get them where they need to go.
Right.
But I can contact someone's loved one. That doesn't just automatically happen for me, because for so long I was tapped into these higher beings and planes. And every time I channeled somebody, they expanded me more for a higher frequency being the next time. So I have to actually ask one of my guides to tap me into the ancestral plane. And it's helpful if I have the person's name that they want to contact. But the first time I did it, my friend said, I want you to take this appointment. We shared an office. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, yeah, you do. You can do it. And I literally, like, I felt like I was talking to this 21-year-old kid. I call him a kid. And literally everything he told me was exactly what was on his toxicology report weeks later.
Wow.
How he died. So that was very interesting. And then I thought, wow, I guess I wasn't making that up. It kind of feels like we're making it up all the time, you know?
Now, you had mentioned earlier in the podcast that you don't love to do the medium work or talk to people's loved ones. Do you connect with your own ancestors that are passed, or do you prefer to keep it in the angelic?
Very rarely. I'd rather have advice from a higher level being, I guess,
right,
than a person who's still human but doesn't have a body. That's just me, just because of the most amazing stuff I've heard that these beings have channeled through me, that someone who was recently human, I'm not sure they would have access to that kind of information. Although I understand how it helps people to have closure. And I certainly, you know, as much as I actually resisted it for a while, and I didn't even have anything on my website about it, and people just keep coming to me for it. So I feel like it's something my soul wants to do.
Yeah.
So that's why I do it. And I get pretty accurate information. But, you know, because of television and how some of the mediumship is enhanced on television, you know, it's sometimes not meeting their expectations. And I don't like to disappoint people, but I can only get what I get.
Right. Absolutely. I have a question about your defragmenting. Is that only in person, or do you offer that remote?
I can do it remotely. I prefer to be able to see the person, like on a video call, but it's not necessary. It's just helpful if I can calibrate where they are, you know, what brainwave state they're in with the hypnotic part of it. But yeah, I do it all over the world, actually, remotely.
That's cool.
In person is ideal.
Is it typically like an hour session, like a Reiki session would be, say, or is it a little longer?
I prefer 90 minutes for a first defragmenting session. Now, some people come once a month for 90 minutes. Oh, and wow. Then some people, they start with a 90 minute and then they just come back for 60 minutes. Some people never come back. I had this lady walk into my booth at an expo and she goes, look, and she bends her knees and squats down and stands right back up. She said, ever since my session, I haven't needed the surgery. I'm like, whoa, that is wild. I'm not making any of those claims, and I don't know what's happened since, but there have been some interesting, like, chronic pain is an interesting one, because I always ask if they have chronic pain, because as soon as I separate the ego, most of that pain disappears, and that tells us that it's emotional.
Yeah.
And so but I've had some interesting, you know, results with that. And some people come, you know, a couple times a year. It's whatever they feel. But everybody leaves feeling wonderful. And I love it. I love to watch their eyes sparkle and their whole, like, face lift a little bit. You know, I love to watch them transform in front of my eyes just by getting all of the, you know, the space junk out of their energy field that they don't need. And then refilling that with light. It's basically clearing what they don't need, refilling it with light, spackling it. Or Reiki, if you like.
Yeah.
Like
And then what would you say when you're in a session? Like, I know that you offer so many different things between hypnosis, defragmenting, Reiki, all that. Mm-hmm. Do you see in your mind's eye, in your third eye, or do you ever see with your eyes open? Like, what would you say your strongest clair is?
Oh gosh. My strongest clair is clairaudience. So okay. It's the hearing, but do I hear with my ears? No, I hear it in my mind.
Okay.
I do have a very strong clairvoyancy too. And you did ask about the remote viewing. I studied, it was a week intensive with David Morehouse, former CIA psychic spy. And that was very interesting. I don't use his technique anymore, or the government's old technique anymore, because I can simply just say, show me the murder scene, and then I can get clues there, or show me whatever, and I'm there. I mean, it's so simple. We just say, take me to April 24th of 1998 at 2 p.m. And then we just see what we see. So that really helped to develop more of the clairvoyance, I guess. But I can see in my mind's eye with my eyes open or closed. I can see more with them closed. And I don't really see auras with my physical eyes very much, but I can often see miscarriages. And I can talk to the spirits of unborn children that are about to be born, and the ones that weren't born, and those I can see. And I can see sometimes angels, they appear to me as blue orbs, but I see those with my eyes. That's just something I can't make happen. It just happens. When it's supposed to.
Randomly, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After my second Reiki attunement, ooh, I started seeing auras with my eyes open.
Nice.
With eyes.
Oh, jealous.
But it's random. It's just like I yeah. can't control when it happens. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm really meditating and I can do it.
Right. Yeah, I've come out of meditation and literally seen the flower of life in the field around me with my physical eyes. In pastels, yes. And I blink my eyes and it's still there. And that's amazing to me.
Yes.
But I can't make that happen. The other day there was this girl talking to me about this idea she had, and I literally saw a golden thing flash above her head, like a light bulb. You know, I think that's where we get that light bulb thing. Cause I see like the light bulb flash.
Yes. Yeah.
It's cool.
Oh, I love it. So I love you for, or I thank you for sharing your story. I love hearing your story.
Sure, sure.
Do you have, I know we're getting close on time. It's went by super fast. Mm-hmm. Is there any message, or would you like to tap in and share anything with the collective that you think would be helpful to them at this time?
Oh gosh, let me just call on the oneness, which is all of the spirits of the higher frequencies. All the gods, goddesses, angels, star beings, because they're comprehensive. The first thing they're saying is relax, it's gonna be okay. The more you focus on your 3D world, the more you cause emotional harm to yourselves and you lower your vibrational frequencies. As you lower your vibrational frequencies, you are unable to receive the energetic codes that are attempting to upgrade you. Whoa. Right now, I'm just relaying. I'm not doing a full-on channeling just because of time. But right. Wow. So the more we focus on our 3D, what else, guys? What else do you want to say? They said everyone should focus on toning for their throat chakra right now and be very, very careful with what you are thinking and especially what you are speaking, because every word is truth. And every word manifests your reality. Wow. Every word is truth. Tell me what that means. Every word that everyone chooses to speak is a prayer that is answered, or it is a truth that they are attempting to manifest. Wow. So if we say something that we don't like about ourselves, we're actually making it worse.
Mm-hmm. That is powerful.
Yeah, and I feel like they're saying, you know, your world is what? Your world is, it's like taking a turn. It says you're beyond the time that your world could become more difficult, and now it can become more easy. But the problem is, what do you believe? Because if you are still a victim, your world will be your world. And all you will see is the things that reinforce that you are a victim. And that the world is going to hell, they say. Going to hell. It's like they're laughing when they say that. because I have navigated thousands of different dimensions because I journey all the time, and I have never found a place that is of like damnation or punishment. Never found right. it.
I love that.
Although maybe here, maybe that's what this is playing. In. yeah,
I was thinking that, and you said it.
Thanks, oneness. Did you have any questions for them about our world? Or
I do not at this time.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
I just know whatever they wanted to bring through, I think, is just absolutely perfect.
They're saying something about you. They say, she is also an emissary of light. Yes, I know. They're telling me you're a light worker, which is obvious. Oh, and they want to give a message to all the light workers. And that is focus on your state of being and your frequency. That is all that is needed. Whatever you choose to do is fine. But remember that it's more about your state of being than it is about any doing.
So good. Thank you. Thank you very much for that message.
Sure.
That was beautiful.
In the beginning, I channeled Metatron. And he says, you really need to channel at least once a month for your well-being. And I'm like, ugh, I'm too busy with my corporate job. And I don't know. And then I'm like, well, I guess the Archangel Metatron told me to do this. I'm just going to invite people. And then maybe that'll make me do it. That was my thinking, even then, when I was totally into this stuff. My thinking was, if I force myself to like say I'm going to do it, and then whoever comes is great. And that's turned into a 17-year monthly session. That I can't even believe that. And now I channel every single day. Love it.
I love that because I feel like that was a message for me.
Okay.
I totally take that right now.
Good. Because well, maybe invite people. Hard. Invite people. And then you'll make you do it. And then you'll want to do it more and more.
And then it's, I do want to do it. It's life, right? Three kids, busy work, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the excuses we tell ourselves.
Sure.
So I loved hearing that. I feel like I needed to hear that because every time I meditate, it comes through. So thank you.
Oh, I'm glad.
Is there anything else you, Cindy, would like to share with the listeners? Or any message that you would like to offer before we close out today?
Yeah, there was a post on Facebook and it was a couple weeks ago and I reposted it and I said, literally, there is never any other post ever needed ever. And this is the message, pulling it up on my phone here, if I can find it. I actually have it framed in my office now. So anybody who comes in my office, we'll see it. Here it is. Because I can't stop talking about the surrender piece. There is nothing more powerful than surrendering to your own soul, which is 95% of your consciousness. So here was the quote. There's something within you that knows what to do. There is a power greater than you that knows how to take care of you without your help. All you've got to do is to surrender to it. Surrender your thoughts, your mind, your ego, to the current that knows the way. It will take care of you. It will take better care of you than you can ever imagine. And I know it's true because it has changed my life so dramatically, so positively. Every day is just like synchronicities all the time because I'm just in that surrender attitude. It's amazing. That's my last message.
That's perfect. When you surrender, you're living from heart. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the image that went with it was somebody's heart and just light shooting out of it.
Yeah.
Because I think of my soul's or my true essence, my soul's energy shooting out of my heart, blasting out, like bringing stuff to me, you know, like guiding me in a direction. It's going out from me and attracting.
So good. So can I thank you so much for being on. I might want to have you on again because I feel like this was an easy conversation. We could talk forever. Where can listeners find you to book a session and to find out more information? I'll also post all your links in the show notes.
Okay, thank you. Yes, cindyriggs.com, CindyRiggs.com. More information than they probably want. Everything's there. Everything from all the different services to some stuff about me, and hopefully you'll feel the energy as well.
And I think we're all needing this extra work right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Amount of energy going on in the world right now, even focusing on the good, we're being called to heal, and you offer such a wide variety of services to assist in the process.
Right. And during COVID, you know, like I said, what do you want to do, soul? It's like, well, we have to move our office, and it found my office 9 days before I had to move, and that was all magical. And I just never stopped seeing people because I said, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
And so regardless of what's going on in the news, which I don't watch, I just say, I'm here to help inspire, spread light, you know, help people raise their frequencies, help them to awaken. That's my purpose. And I know that now. And I thought I would never know my purpose, but I figured it out when I surrendered. So yeah, cindyriggs.com. Also on Facebook, Cindy Riggs Psychic is my business page. And then of course, the From Beyond podcast.
Do you have a page on Instagram as well?
I do, but I'm rarely on there. It's also Cindy Riggs Psychic.
Okay. I have one last question that's a side note tangent for myself. Do you ever do readings, like psychic, like parties?
Oh yeah, all the time. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that. Yes, I do psychic readings all the time. Constantly. Yay. And I do a lot of different readings. I'll do tarot readings. I'll do talk to your guides, talk to your higher self, talk to your loved ones, of course, talk to whoever wants to show up. I don't do astrology. I don't do palmistry, but I do pretty much everything else. We didn't even get into past lives. We could talk about that next time.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I actually would love to have you on for past lives because I, side tangent, I have three kids and like when they were younger, they remembered. And I can tell you my youngest, you know, remembers choosing us as parents and like all this stuff. And I would love to just bounce ideas off of you. And that could be a whole episode if you're up for it.
Oh yeah. There are three different things I do with past lives. So love to talk about that next time.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll definitely reach out. Thank you so much for taking time out to be on the podcast. I hope you have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.